Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Peace be to you. Thank you for tuning in to the Deen Show. Now, I'm very excited here that you've come to us, you've come to learn, and you've gotten away from everything else, from the hustle and bustle of life. You've decided to really take the matter seriously. Purpose of life, why are you here? Where are you going when you die? You came from somewhere. And where are you going when you leave this world? It's a very important issue. But now, you've heard some names. You want to call upon the one who created you, who gave you life, who gave you death, the one God. Some people say that, look, Yahweh is God. That's the proper name for the creator. Some people go ahead and make this mighty messenger who's beloved to our hearts, Jesus, peace be upon him. No Muslim is a Muslim unless he believes in Jesus. Some people call God as Jesus or give Jesus the equal status to God. And then some people, over 1.5 billion, call God by the name of Allah, which means the only one worthy of worship. So how does all this fit in place? Yahweh, Jesus, Allah, this is what we're going to be talking about on this week's show. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is the Deen Show.
This is the Deen Show.
I'm here with the president of the Islamic Research Education Foundation, President Imran. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm fine, brother.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you too.
Very important topic that we're here to cover. You have your own private section at thedeenshow.com. Alhamdulillah, praise to the Creator that the Deen Show is viewed all over the globe on many satellite channels. But for those that don't get to watch it on the TV, you can watch it at thedeenshow.com, and you have your own section there. People can click on your section and watch the other programs that we've done. Today, we're going to be talking about God's proper name. Some people say Jehovah, the word Jehovah, or Yahweh. Some people, they make Jesus into God. We love Jesus, but we know that he never claimed to be God, so they give him the rights of God. And then we have Allah. So to clear up the confusion, where do we start?
Yeah, in other words, it's like Yahweh, Jesus Christ, and Allah, are they the same? So the answer would be, no, they are not the same. Yes, but one thing is very clear. The God who created the Muslims, it is the same God who created the Jews and the Christians. A Jew will also agree that God who created the Jew is the same God who created the entire universe. A Christian too agrees that the God who created a Christian is the same God who created the entire universe. And we Muslims too have no objection to believe that the God who created the Muslims, it is the same God who created the entire universe. But what a Muslim is very strong in his belief is about belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word Allah, many people think, is a word that was coined by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a misinformation. This is a wrong knowledge. Because you see, the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, he claimed his messengerhood, his prophethood, when he was 40 years old. He was 40 years old when he said that Archangel Gabriel came to me with a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But his father's name was Abdullah. This would mean that the word Allah was common there. If you read the Encyclopedia Britannica, it says that Allah was the standard name of God in Arabic for the Arabs since a long time. And of course, according to one of the great historians, Mr. Marshall, in one of his books, he says that there were certain Christian groups who went to Mecca before the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They went to Mecca to circumambulate the Kaaba, calling it Baitullah, meaning the house of Allah. Meaning, for the Coptic Christians and Jews, for those Christians and Jews who were born Jews and Christians in the Arab land, speaking Arabic as their mother tongue, these Christians and Jews refer to the Almighty God as Allah, very conveniently. But now when you see Yahweh, Jesus Christ, from where did these terms come? Who is Yahweh? If you read the Holy Scripture of the Jews, that is the Torah, the Pentateuch, in the Pentateuch, one very commonly repeated name which they refer to the God is Yahweh, which occurs more than 6,700 times.
6,000 times?
6,700 times.
Where is this used?
It's used in the Old Testament
Old
of the
Testament,
Bible. Old Testament?
Yeah. How do you say it?
They call it YHWH, which is popularly known to us.
YHWH.
Yes. I would definitely like to throw some light on how did YHWH become Yahweh. So they say that in the book of Exodus, you will find in chapter number 30, verse number 3 to verse number 14, in chapter number 32, verse number 3 to verse number 14, you will find that Moses, may peace be upon him, when he asked the Almighty God, "Who are you? What's your name?" And the reply came to him, "I am that I am. I am that I am. Say to the people of Israel that I am sent me." So who is this I am? So the Hebrew closest to it, they say, is the root H-Y-H, Hi. It's from this root Hi that Y-H-W-H came. And the common Jew, a modern Jew or any Jew of the time, would not like anyone to take the name of the God because they say it is too sacred. It is ineffable. It should not be voiced. It's very sacred. It's a great sin to take his name outside. So they don't want to take his name outside. In the Bible, when it appeared for more than 6,700 times in the Old Testament, what they did is they substituted that word with a Greek word, Adonai. Adonai is a Greek word which translated into English. It means my Lord. But still, what is Yahweh? What is Yahweh? So they say Yahweh is I am what I am. So if you say I am that I am is Yahweh, then it is not a noun. It is a causative verb. It's not a noun. We are talking of a noun. I am that I am is not a noun. It is a causative verb. Hi, H-Y-H, hi. Hi is the root to Yahweh. And hi means to be. One who originates the being. I am that I am. Hi is very close to the Arabic cognate, an attribute of Allah. In Surah Baqarah, Surah number 2, Ayat number 255, which we refer as Ayat al-Kursi, which is Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Allah is referred, Allahu la ilaha. Allah, besides him, there is no other God. Huwa al-hayyul qayyum. He is Hay. Hay means the ever-living.
Ever-living.
The one who is forever, the ever-living, is Hay. From that, so if Hay, Yahayyun, these are the attributes of the Almighty God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So that could be an attribute of God?
Yes, it can be an attribute of God. But who is this YHWH? And how did YHWH, which they refer as tetragrammation, how did it become Yehovah? So we come to know that a person, a scholar, by the name Jesenius, in the 9th century Christian era, he added vowels to these consonants. YHWH are consonants. He added vowels to these consonants from taking out the vowels of the word Adonai, A-D-O-N-A-I. If you check Adonai, A-O-A are the three vowels in that word. So he took out these three vowels, A, O and A, and put it between Y, H, W, H. Between Y and H, he put the A of Adonai that begins with A, A, it becomes Yah. Then D-O, that O he put between H and W, it became Yaho. And the last of Adonai, after A comes I in Adonai, that A he took and put after W, it became Yahovah. That is how Yahovah came into existence. And when you check, the common term in Hebrew used for the God is Elohim. El is a Hebrew word. In Syriac, it is Allah. A-L-A-H.
In what?
In Syriac language, it is Allah. A-L-A-H. Very close to Allah of Arabic. If you check, the Hebrew language, the short is El. Why Im? So they say Elohim for respect. It is a plural of respect. But the same Elohim, we do not believe that Elohim is Allah, because if you read the Bible, the word Elohim has been used for the dead spirits. It has been used to refer to celestial objects with six wings. It has been used to refer to the demons. It's so confusing. You cannot get to the base what exactly Yahweh or Elohim is.
There's so much to add on this. I got so many more questions. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back with more with the president of the IREF here on The Dean Show. We'll be right back.
When it's close to death, they say, oh God, don't let me die. But he's got something better than this world.
What's God going to get out of punishing you anyway?
We have to connect to this understanding that the Quran is from God, that Muhammad is his messenger, and the answers to the problems in our life are there.
And if we're going to worship something, I figured I might as well worship the Creator instead of any of the creations.
Back here on The Dean Show, and Yahweh, Jesus, Allah, is this all the same? And we're clearing this up. You're explaining it so simple, but it just is, we got to admit, it's a little confusing. To the average person never heard this, it's like, whoa, my head's a little spinning, man. You know, Allah is the only God to be worshipped. Simple, done. But now, that's amazing. We have the verbatim word of God. It clears up all the confusion, all the chaos is out there. Because here, you don't have the original books, and you're relying on translations, and you come up with, you mentioned some guy's name, he changed it, this person changed it. What are you doing changing if it's from God? You can't change it. Once it changes, it's not from God.
Very true.
So let's continue on clearing up the confusion and make it simple.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So continue on.
That's what I'm saying, that if you want to worship the God, you should at least know something very clear about God and not confusing. And if you do a little bit of more study into Judaism and how the Torah was compiled, how was it brought back? Because the Torah given to Musa alayhi salam was destroyed in the first attack on the Temple of Solomon. Much before that it was destroyed, but it got totally destroyed in the first attack by Nebuchadnezzar. When he attacked in 586 BC, he destroyed the entire Torah. So what is there in the Torah today has been compiled on a theory known as documentation hypothesis.
Documentation hypothesis.
And this is known in short form as DH. It has got four main sources to get the subject compiled into this book. One of them is the source of Jehovist or the Yahovist, and if the other source is Elohist. Now when you check what a Jehovist defines Yahweh as, you'll be surprised. They define Yahweh as a God walking in the Garden of Eden, as a God who is designing clothes for Adam and Eve, as a God who is visiting the people and speaking to them face to face.
This is the Jehovah Witnesses?
No, not the Jehovah Witnesses. The Jehovist source.
The Jehovist source.
Source of the Jews.
Yeah.
Who brought
this
the
word.
Compilation of the Torah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
As
okay.
I said, in the documentation hypothesis, there are four main sources.
Okay.
Two of them are Jehovist and the Elohist. So the Jehovist concept is, he is a God in form walking in the Eden, searching, where are you, Adam?
This is in Genesis now.
Yeah, this is in the book of Genesis. But what I'm trying to actually give you is, they're trying to picturize the God as a person, like a human walking somewhere, talking to the people.
This is wrong.
This is wrong. And the Elohist have a different picture altogether. Meaning, the two main groups who were the main sources for the documentation hypothesis to compile the Torah, they have difference of opinion about the one God, the Almighty God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you see, as I said, this Yahweh concept became so unpopular and was so confusing that they said, it's too sacred, let's not take the name, let's call him Adonai.
Oh, now we got another thing. And I'm glad you said confusing, because I thought I'm losing it, and how many people it is confused.
Yeah, and absolutely, it's so confusing that nobody can solve this mystery.
Yeah.
It's mysterious.
But what did you go on from here? You said they went...
Adonai.
Now what's this?
That's a Greek term which has been substituted wherever the word Yahweh came. And if you check, today, this word Adonai has been used to replace Yahweh because it is a very sacred name. And Adonai is a Greek term meaning my Lord. As we say, Rabbi, Allah is Rabb, the Cherisher, the Lord. Rabbi, my Lord. It's an attribute.
So in the King James Version,
it's there? All Adonai.
It's Adonai now.
Adonai now. Instead of Yahweh, you will find it Adonai, Adonai, Adonai. If you read the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, verse number 4, Moses, may peace be upon him, he says, Shema Israelo, Adonai Elohino, Adonai Ehad. Hear, O Israel, your Lord, the God, is only one God. See, now this word Yahweh, this term Yahweh, according to the Elohist and the Yahwehist, when he is figurative, it becomes a contradiction to the concept of God mentioned in the Old Testament. If you read the book of Exodus, chapter number 20, verse number 3, 4, and 5, and the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 5, verse number 7, 8, and 9, verbatim, same to same, word by word, they are the same. What does it say? The God is saying, you shall not make unto yourself, you shall not worship any other God besides me. You shall not make unto yourself any graven image of anything in the heavens above, or anything on the earth beneath, or anything in the waters beneath the earth. You shall not bow down yourself unto them, nor serve them, for your Lord, the God, am a jealous God. If you observe this teaching, then if you say that Yahweh spoke face to face, Yahweh, he was a person who walked in the Eden, it doesn't fit that. It's against the very tenet of your teaching.
Contradiction here now.
It's contradiction
just by
now.
The name and then the actual, yeah, they're showing God as.
Absolutely. So it's a contradiction. So it's very confusing to understand the concept of God or Yahweh in the Old Testament of the Bible, or as understood by the Jews. They can't explain a fixed definition for it. Now coming to Jesus Christ, may peace be upon him.
Just one quick note. So Yahweh, it started with the YHWH.
The tetragrammation.
Okay, that's in the Hebrew?
Yeah, it's in the Hebrew.
So now it got all the way to the English with Yahweh?
It became Adonai in Adonai. Greek.
Okay, all right. So we clear that up. Now Jesus.
Jesus Christ, may peace be upon him. We all know. No Muslim is a Muslim unless he believes in Jesus Christ, may peace be upon him. He has been highly revered in the glorious Quran. We Muslims, we believe because of the Quran. We Muslims have been made to believe, the Muslims of the time of Prophet Muhammad Sallam, till the last Muslim on the face of the earth, has been made to believe that Jesus is an article of faith in Islam. We do not differentiate between any messengers of God. Allah said that the Muslims, the Mumin, the true believers are those who do not differentiate between the messengers of God. We highly love, respect, and revere Jesus Christ. May peace be upon him.
So we're not the
no
Antichrist.
No Muslim is a Muslim if he's Antichrist.
All right, that's clear now.
No Muslim is a Muslim if he does not believe, love, and respect Jesus Christ, may peace be upon him. No Muslim is a Muslim if he does not believe that Jesus Christ was a mighty messenger of the Almighty God. We Muslims, we believe that he was a mighty messenger of God who healed those who were born blind and lepers. We believe he gave life to the dead. But all this he did by Allah's permission. So we Muslims believe in him. The question is Jesus Christ Allah? So I'm asking, did Jesus say I am Allah? You read any Bible of the world, there is not a single unequivocal statement. I reiterate, there is not a single direct speech, direct statement of Jesus Christ, may peace be upon him, where he ever said, I am God, or where he said, worship me. The forerunning Christian evangelists, they give an example. They say, you see, the president of America, he does not need to tell everybody every time that I am the president of America. They forget to realize that the president of America, to become the president, is dependent upon the democracy. So the people already, they have chosen him the president, so they know he is the president of America. But the God is not chosen by the people, he is the God by himself. So the God needs to educate the people to show them that I am your God who created you. So it's an illogical example. It's an illogical parable to give. It's an illogical analogy. So Jesus Christ never said that I am the God or worship me. So they say he is one of the Trinity. Surprisingly, the word Trinity does not occur in the Bible for one single time.
It's not there.
No, the word Trinity doesn't come there. So they say, where is the word Tawheed in the Quran? Well, that topic I'll come again. But the word Trinity doesn't come in the Bible. The closest verse to Trinity in the Bible was in King James Version of the 16 and 11 Christian era, in the first epistle of John, chapter number 5, verse number 7, 8, and 9, which said, and in the kingdom of heaven bear three names, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. This was the closest verse. You read the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, That verse has been thrown into the footnote as a manipulation, corruption, concoction, and something added by the men into the word of God.
This what
it's no more there.
This is what the Christian scholars said, right?
Yeah, 52 eminent scholars backed by 32 denominations, they threw it out saying this verse is a corruption in the Bible. So the closest verse to Trinity, even that is out of the Bible now.
And we're not doing this out of hate, we're doing this out of the love. We want to educate and we want the best for all of mankind. But you know what? We got to get to the bottom of this. That's why we're digging and we are unfolding the truth. Amazing, amazing facts, not fiction, here on The Dean Show. We'll be right back for more.
On the outside, everything looks good. You see the $100,000 cars, you see a lot of diamonds, you see a lot of females, and they think that this is, you know, this is the life. This is like, you know, paradise right here on earth.
It's not anyone's job to go into someone's heart and change their heart. Your job is to tell people what the truth is.
And the reality of it is, while we're sitting here, while I'm sitting here constantly paying for the disease, the cure was free.
If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on The Dean Show, we're trying to get out of the chaos and confusion into the light, into the straight path, the path that leads to paradise. We want to know what to call God, the creator of all that True. Exists. Do we just call him God?
No.
Well, let's go back to before you went to break, you were wrapping up this point about the Trinity.
Yeah. So as I said, Trinity is out of the Bible now. The closest verse is out of the Bible. And one statement, see, time does not permit me to give, I would have given references from the Bible in line to prove that Jesus is not the God. But one reference in the words of Jesus is enough to disprove that he is the God. Jesus says in Gospel of John, chapter number 5, verse number 30, I can of mine own self do nothing as I hear, I judge. This statement, I can of mine own self do nothing, is enough to prove that he is not the God, because God does everything by himself.
Give some references now. Just give a few that also will support him not being God that people can go check up. Go ahead and quote some.
Gospel
please.
Of John, chapter number 5, verse number 30 and 31. Gospel of John, chapter number 5, verse number 37. Gospel of John, chapter number 10, verse number 29. Gospel of John, chapter number 14, verse number 28. Gospel of John, chapter number 17, verse number 3 and 4. Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 20, verse number 17 and 18. All these places, Jesus is denying himself to be the Almighty God. Coming to the concept of God, Allah is from the root Arabic word Ilah, and Allah means the God. Allah is a name that Allah preferred to use more often than other names. If you read the glorious Quran, Allah says in Surah Taha, Surah number 20, at number 8, there is no God except Him, except Allah. To Him belong the most beautiful names, meaning only one name is not there for the God. There are many beautiful names. Then Allah says in Surah Bani Israel, Surah number 17, at number 110, Khulidullaha Avidur Rahman, Ayyamma Tadu Falhul Asmaul Husna. Call upon him as Allah, or call upon him the most gracious, Ar Rahman. To him belong the most beautiful names. What do you mean by the most beautiful names? Most beautiful names means the names in their meaning and definition should be unique, not befitting anyone else, not giving a mental picture to you. That is most beautiful names. And Allah says in Surah Araf, Surah number 7, at number 180, do not try to distort the name of Almighty God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The concept of understanding the names and attributes of the Almighty God in Islam is referred as Tawheed, which is derived from the root word Wahada and Ahad used in the Quran for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Wahid, Allah is Ahad, as referred in the glorious Quran in Surah Ikhlas, Surah number 112, ayat number 1, where Allah says, Qul huwallahu ahad. Say to them, He is Allah, the only one. So when you see, Tawheed is basically categorized based on the teachings of Quran and the teachings, authentic teachings of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, into three main categories. Tawheed al-Rububiyah. Tawheed al-Rububiyah means to believe and to proclaim to the mankind that Almighty God Allah alone is the originator of the creation, and He alone cherishes and sustains them all, as referred in the Quran in Surah Fatiha, Surah number 1, ayat number 1. Then Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat. The beautiful names and attributes of Allah They belong only to him. His names and attributes should not be given to his creation. Neither shall the attributes and names of creation be given to Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very clearly saying that if anyone wants to use his name to christen yourself, to name yourself, then prefix abd or amat. Abd in Arabic means servant. For a male, it is abd. For a female, it is amat. Then the last category of tawheed is tawheed al-ibadah, meaning all the methods that you use according to the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to worship Almighty God Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should not be repeated to revere, respect or worship anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best definition of Almighty God in theology, in the study about God, universally can be given from the Quran in Surah Ikhlas, Surah number 112. Verse number, ayat number 1 to ayat number 4, which is the touchstone of theology, where Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qul huwallahu ahad. Say to them, He is Allah, the only one, Allahu samad. He is absolute and eternal. He is independent. He does not depend upon anyone, but everyone besides Him depend only upon Him. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He has no parents and He gives birth to no children. Walam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. And there is no one like unto Him. This is the best four-line definition of the Almighty God. Any sample of God, whether it is Jesus, Yahweh, any sample of God, if they can fit this four-line definition, we Muslims have no objection to take that as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But wallah, by God, except Allah, nobody can pass that test.
It's very simple now.
It's very simple.
Very
it's
simple to understand. If you have an open heart, open mind, you want to know the truth, this makes sense.
Yeah, and it's the best definition. It gives the royalty to the Almighty God. It gives the glory to the Almighty God in that definition.
And we never bring down God to His creation, making Him walk on earth, giving Him a color, giving Him now all these...
We don't make Him a tailor stitching clothes.
Tailor stitching clothes. None of it. God is God. The Creator is the Creator. Allah is Allah. True. And we are His creation.
Yes.
That's
very
simple.
True. That's as simple as that.
And Islam is saying only worship that one God.
Yes. 100%
true. A two-year-old can understand
Subhanallah.
That.
Subhanallah.
Thank you very much for being with us. May God Almighty, the Creator, Allah reward you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. And that's all the time that we have. And I'm going to agree with a lot of people out there that we shouldn't have to follow an organized religion organized by man or men, but we should follow the way of life that's been organized, ordained, sent down divinely from the divine, from the Creator, from the one God, the Creator of all that exists, because He knows best. He knows best, but He's the most wisest. He's the most loving, He's the most merciful, and that's why He sent messengers to guide us. And the way of life that He wants us to live has always been the same. Submit your entire self, not to yourself, not to Jesus, not to the sun, not to the moon, not to anything in creation, but to the Creator, the one God, and do good. Base your life on doing all the good things that He's told you to do, and at the end, what do you got? What do you got then? You got His pleasure and His paradise, and then you avoid His hellfire. And that's a hot place where we don't want to be. But it starts with you wanting it. It starts with you wanting it. So want it and ask for it. Call upon that one God. Call upon Him alone. In Arabic, it's Allah, the most loving, the most merciful. And then, only then, will the guidance start to come and continue to come back here to the Deen Show every week. You can also contact us here at 1-800-662-ISLAM. Until next time, peace be with you.